with this topic that I think is important for us to understand as people who attend the church, people who are members of church, of churches, what our responsibilities to a particular church is, what our responsibility is, and what they are as members of a church. In Hebrews 10, 23 and 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to loving good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As I read that text from Hebrews, what do you get from that? What do you hear God telling us in that passage? What are some things, just as you look at it on the surface, that it says? Encourage who? Each other, one another. Encourage each other. Encourage one another. What else? Okay, it says to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And what else did you say, Carol? Okay, to come together, to assembly together, assemble together. What else does it say? Yeah, buddy. Yes, yes, yes. And that would be a wonderful study to do at some point in time, too, is, I mean, does Scripture tell us that there are going to be things that we can know that the day of Christ's coming is near? Not that we would use those things in order to calculate the day of Christ's coming, but I think Scripture does tell us that there are certain things that are going to be in place before He does return. Yeah. What else do you see there? Perseverance. How do you see that?
Hi.
Okay. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. All right, so there's a sense that there's perseverance. And how do we go about doing that? Alone? Together. I think that's the important thing here, is that we do that together. You know, as a member of a church, as people who attend a body, I mean, there must be some, you know, reason that people want to be together. And that reason is, in the context of this verse here, is that we would stimulate one another. We would encourage one another to good works, to good deeds, to assemble together, to encourage one another, to persevere with one another, and to encourage perseverance as we anticipate the day of the Lord's approach. That whole idea of stimulate one another to loving good deeds, that word stimulate, what do you hear when you read that word? What does that mean? To stimulate one another to loving good deeds. So the Holy Spirit is in us, yeah, as the body of Christ. So observing other Christians doing those things that they are called to do, being faithful in perseverance, doing the good works that God has prepared beforehand for them to do, that encourages you to do. Okay? What does that word stimulate there in the Greek? Hebrews 10, 24. Four. I don't recall what the word is, but I do recall what it means. Okay, it really means to spur one another on. Now, out here when we think of spurs, cowboys, okay, and what do cowboys do with spurs? Okay, they're riding a horse and they put it in the side of the horse, and what does that horse do? It goes, doesn't it? Right, and that's the picture here, is that what we're doing is stimulate one another. We're spurring one another on to love and good deeds. Not that we're hurting one another in doing that, but it has that idea of watching other people do things, of us getting involved in things. As we talked last week and week before about gifts, about spiritual gifts and talents. You know, God has given every one of us as believers in the body of Christ a gift or gifts that are to be used for the building up of the body. And as we see those gifts being used, that encourages us to use the gifts that God has given to us, and it encourages others. So there's a mutual stimulation there, that we're pushing one another on and not forsaking our own assembling together. So, I mean, there's an idea here too that our goal, our desire in that stimulating one another is to be in participation with one another at the things that we do as a body. Worship, you know, is the primary thing that we do as a body on Sunday. That as we attend, we stimulate one another to attend. We encourage one another. We're members of the body. When members of the body are not here, we miss those members. When they're here, we rejoice because they're here. So our responsibility as a church member primarily is to encourage one another, to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. So even in the first century church, apparently there were people who said, you know, I don't need to, I don't want to. There are excuses, there's, you know, reasons that I don't come to church that are more important than coming to church. And I mean, and that's the message that comes across, is when you don't carve out that one day in seven, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, the seventh is a Sabbath unto the Lord. It's true that our rest is in Christ, but we're still obligated, because we're members of the body of Christ, to be in participation at worship on the Lord's Day when the body gets together to worship. And that, you know, no matter what our priorities are, that ought to be our top priority. I'm not saying that just because, you know, I'm a pastor, and that's what I do on Sundays. It's important to me, so it ought to be important to everybody else, right? Well, there's some sense there that's true, but it's important to me because it's important to God. And it's important to God because that is, when we gather together on the Lord's Day, I mean, that is evidence of the body worshiping, fellowshipping, encouraging one another. We don't do it any other day. We ought to do it that day, and that ought to be a huge priority for us. And I know, because of work, because of things of this world, that there are times when we just can't. You know, we are prohibited from doing and fellowshipping with the body. But those people that I've talked to in those situations, their heart is that they desire to be here. They desire to be in fellowship with the body and worshiping with the body on the Lord's Day. We should not make it a habit of forsaking the assembly. And I think that's what the writer of Hebrews says here, is that if our habit is to forsake the assembly, then something's wrong. And they'll go to any length in order, I mean, like you say, they will put their life on the line in order to fellowship with the body and to worship with the body. What's that?
They almost need to see red narratives, but good.
And you sort of wonder, if it's there, why is it not here? I don't mean here, but in the context of our culture.
Because
they're
And they didn't have a great awakening.
Ah, that is it.
So they don't have individualistic, revivalistic view.
With regard to one another, Carol mentioned in the context of Hebrews 10 that there's that phrase, to stimulate one another. What is our responsibility to one another? Is it just to encourage one another? Well, I've given you front and a back page of some one another, and all some of them may not specifically say one another in the Greek. It is a one another phrase, although it may be translated differently in the NAS. I mean, just briefly look through this. What are some ways that we are to, what is our responsibility to one another? Serve one another. Just look through and see the one another and see what the verb is close to it. Love one another. Many times. What about Romans 12:10? Okay? Honor one another. Be devoted to one another. In brotherly love, give preference to one another. Put other people before yourself. Yes. Yeah. What else do you see? Stand up for each other, okay? Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be subject to one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Encourage. Of course, Titus 3:3 indicates those things that we should not be doing to one another. Once we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hating one another. Don't do those things. Don't speak against one another. Fervently love one another from the heart. Be hospitable to one another. How many of us are hospitable outside of Sunday to one another? I mean, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit, is hospitality. Do we? Some of us try. But, I mean, do we, outside of Sunday, have people over to our homes? Do things to show the gift of hospitality to one another. Greet one another with a kiss of love. I love that one. Of course, in today's culture, that kiss of love can very easily be a handshake or, you know, a pat on the shoulder. And in some cultures, it would be a kiss. I mean, where men and women are kissing one another on the cheek. Have fellowship with one another. So, and that is not a complete list. If you go through and you can do a study of the one another passages, and even in the New Testament, only in the New Testament, I think it would be well worth your time and effort, not only studying, but then taking some of those things and applying them. What ought to be our attitude concerning attendance at the worship service and other meetings of the church? It ought to be our custom. I briefly mentioned this earlier in point one. It ought to be our custom, our habit, to be at the assembly of the saints, at the worship assembly on the Lord's Day. And I would encourage us to make that a priority. Not because it's important to me, not because it looks good when we have a full congregation, but because it's important to God that we fellowship with one another on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day, so that, you know, whatever we need to do to prioritize our worldly cares, those things that are tugging at us and pulling at us to do, whatever we need to do for 6 days in the week, do them and get prepared for the Lord's Day on Sunday. However you need to organize your life. I would encourage you to try to make that a priority. How can a member of a church support the work of the church? First, we don't talk a lot about this here, but it's an important part of worship, and that is giving. Giving because God has given to us. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, not as if forced, for God loves a cheerful giver, and that word there for cheerful is ecstatic. He loves a giver who is just ecstatic about giving because of what God has done for us. How can a member of a church support the work of a church? Obviously, by giving cheerfully. And that means a lot. I mean, not just giving, but giving with a heart that is overflowing with the abundance that God has given to you. And if you wonder what God has given to you, just sit back and think. Make a list. The blessings that God has just heaped upon us individually, as families, as a church, how He continues to do that. And you can't help but just respond by giving to Him. In the days of Malachi, there was something going on there where Malachi was saying, "You're robbing God. How are we robbing God?" the people ask. "Well, you've robbed Him in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing Me." Not Malachi, God. "The whole nation of you," He says, "bring the whole tithe in the storehouse so that there may be food in My house. And test Me now in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing until it overflows." In a sense, that's still giving. There's an urgency there in giving, and giving all of what God requires. You know, although the New Testament never specifically says give a tenth, the pattern of giving was established in the Old, and I believe brought into the New, so that there was an understanding that that was at least a minimum of what you gave, a tenth of that which you earned. We can get off into, well, is that a tenth of the net or a tenth of the gross, or what is it? It's a tenth of what you earn. And I would say it's a tenth of the gross that God has given to you. Yes, it's true. Uncle Sam takes probably more than a tenth from many of us. And a tenth is a small amount when you stop and consider how much we have and how little God really requires. It's a tenth of what He has given to us. When you stop and consider that even the income that we have comes from God. Everything that we have is a gift from God. Our jobs are gifts from God. That how can we not give Him what is His minimum due? So, and in a sense, as we're doing that, we're serving faithfully. Not the church, not individuals, we're serving God. I mean, in being obedient to Him in this way. Giving cheerfully, serving faithfully. Hebrews 13:7. How can a member of a church support the work of the church? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. What do you hear there? A member of a church can support the work of the church by obediently submitting. Now that doesn't mean you do without question what your leaders are telling you that you need to be doing. But it does mean that you consider what those leaders that God has placed over you are saying or exhorting you or admonishing you to do. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they keep watch over your bodies and, it says, your souls as those who will give an account. What do I have to do when I stand before God and give Him an account of myself, of my family, and of you? Every congregation that God has allowed me to lead and to pastor, I will answer to God for what has been done in the context of that congregation as their shepherd. And I don't take it lightly, what I do and what I say to people, what I try to encourage people with. And I take that very seriously because I know that I will answer to God for your souls. And I will give an account for that. So the writer of Hebrews says, let them do this with joy and not with grief. Let who do this with joy and not grief? Serve over you. And some people can make the life of a pastor simply miserable. I'm not looking at any specific person. But, I mean, they can. You know, whether it's intentional or whether it's unintentional, it's still can be a point of difficulty. This passage encourages you to let your service and obedience to the leaders that God has placed over you be service of joy and not grief. Because why? It says this would be unprofitable for, not for the pastor, but for you. And God has given a certain authority and leadership vested, it comes from Christ, who is the head of the church, but He gives that to the leaders of the church. And in this case, elders are the leaders of the church, or will be future leaders of the church, who are called by God, elected by you, put in that position, and given God's approval to lead you. And it's a very careful thing that we will do at some point in time, and that is nominate, elect, and ordain leaders of this church. Not in a congregational way, but in a way that God has appointed these men to be your leaders. Your headship, in a sense. That you place your trust in them because God has given them, by your approval, their position of leadership. And it's not something that those leaders will take lightly. This is just not the pastor. This is the ruling elders. This is, you know, even in the sense the deacons who will be elected and put into position here in this church. What else can you do as members to support the work of the church? John 13:34-35. What does that say? Okay. So, love one another. This is a commandment I give you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the pastor is the only one who is to be in the community, who is to evangelize, who is to whatever form that might take, whether it's door-to-door, whether it's friendship evangelism, just whatever it is, Pastor's the only one that's supposed to do any of that. Right? No. What's your responsibility as members? It's to love one another, but it's to let that love shine in the world that they might know that you are the disciples of Christ. So that all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Huge responsibility of a member is that you are doing some sort of witnessing, evangelizing, letting the community know, letting people you come in contact with know that you are a member of something greater than yourself. And you want to share that with them. So, the responsibilities of membership are that you would encourage one another, that you would not forsake the assembling of the body on the Lord's Day, that you would do all those things that the New Testament and the Old Testament says about loving one another, exhorting one another, building up one another, admonishing one another, all the one another commands, that you would give cheerfully, you would serve faithfully, you would obediently submit, and that you would disciple lovingly, so that the world might know that we are the disciples of Christ and that we love one another. You have a responsibility to submit to the authority that God has given to you, but you have a responsibility to use the gifts that God has given to you in the building up of the church and in the extending of the kingdom of Christ's church as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and this class and the fellowship that we've had in the context of this class. We thank you, Lord, for our Savior Jesus Christ, who has, by His Spirit, called us to be one in that Spirit. He has made us to be one and given us that hope of life more abundantly now and that eternal life which is to come when Christ returns. Father, we thank you that you are our God and that we are your children, even the sheep of your pasture. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us when we are dumb like sheep and that when we go astray and go to our own way. But we ask too, Lord, that you would remind us of what Christ has done for us, that the iniquity of us all, the sin of us all, has been placed upon Him who is the great shepherd of the sheep. Father, we pray that as we go into this next hour, this time of fellowship and worship, that you would encourage us with your word, that you would unite us by that very word, and that we, Lord, would know the power of your presence as we come to worship you face to face. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.